Well, for those of you who I've never met, my name is Katie Stallman, and if you've never heard my husband preach, make sure you come back Sunday so you can hear him. The Lord impressed upon me some things tonight concerning faith, so we're going to study the word concerning faith, and in particular, having faith for what God tells us to do. Amen? Because we know simple instructions in the word that are for everybody. You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that we're to be tithers, we're to pray for our president, for our nation, for our pastor, you know, that we're to serve in the local house of God. And so all of those are basic instructions from the word to all of us. But we get specific instruction for our own lives from the Lord. And so whether it's an instruction out of the word or his word to your heart in prayer, either way, those things are to be obeyed. And it just seems to me that there are some things that are coming up ahead for some people in the church, and maybe people are facing those things right now, decisions that you're going to have to make concerning what you're going to do in life. It could be concerning your kids. It could be concerning a job or a promotion. It could be changing jobs. And if we're not careful, we become creatures of habit and just want to settle down into what we know and what we like and what is comfortable. You know, my mom was at my house, and it was a little while ago, and she said, you know, this younger generation, they don't like traditions like we used to. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and it's not that I don't like traditions. It's just that I love change. And if you don't love change, life is hard for you. Because God is always doing something. He's always changing, you know, having us do something more to stretch us, right? Because when we get sedentary, that's a dangerous place to be. Because God's always doing something that requires us to have faith, to use faith, to trust him. Not just faith in his word, but faith in him and in who he is. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we can just think, I'm always going to be in this job, I'm always going to be in this church, or I'm always going to be in this location, or I'm always going to be, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. And for most of you, this will always be your church, and for most of you, you may stay in your job, but the point is to be open if he wants you to do something else. So let's start here, if you will. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, I want God to know that I'm just willing. He may not have me to do anything different, you know, that I've been doing. But if he does, I want him to know whatever he says, I'm going to do it. And how many of you know, I have two kids, and it's not a blessing when I tell them to do something and they wait a while until they do it, right? Prompt obedience is the most pleasing to a parent. Whether he's the heavenly father or a natural father, prompt obedience is pleasing to that parent, right? And so have you ever had God tell you to do something, whether it was in his word or something you heard preached or something that God spoke to you just while you were driving or while you were praying, and when you heard that, you skipped it? You put that on the pile for later, you know? And 1 month came, and 2 months came, and 6 months came, and maybe a year or two came, and you still haven't addressed that? I mean, has anybody else been there? And it could even be what you're doing now, just more of it. You know, I have known for a little while that you all know that I enjoy praying. I like to hold prayer groups. I enjoy corporate prayer after Wednesday service. And so I enjoy those things, and I've endeavored to become more skillful in those things, but I've known for a little while that God wanted me to go higher in those things, and I'll be honest with you, I put it off. So it's the same thing I've been doing, just a different level of what I've been doing. So maybe, you know, something where it's something natural for you, you know, where in your job, you know, maybe what you've been doing is something you've done for years, but maybe he wants you to, instead of being an employee, be the employer, you know, so it's maybe not any different than what you're doing, the actual task, but it takes more faith to do what that next step is. And so tonight we're going to learn about how we can use our faith for what God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, and we're going to read it first in the King James, and then if we can go to the Amplified. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And so all of us have to do this, right? And you're not examining your spouse. You're not examining the person who you're best friends with or other people in the church, just yourself. Because I've found it this, it's safest to examine yourself. You know, you get in trouble when you start deciding whether other people are obeying God and what they should do. That's dangerous. That's called judging someone else. And the Bible says not to do that. And so examine yourselves. Could you go to the Amplified version of this for me? Test and evaluate yourself to see whether you're in the faith and living your lives as a committed believer. Examine yourself, not me. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test, you are rejected as a counterfeit. And so he said here, test and evaluate to see whether you're in the faith. Well, that's not just, are you a believer? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? But are you in faith in your life? You know, because have you noticed that when you first start out in something, you tend to use faith a lot because you don't know very much. You don't have a whole lot of experience that you need God or else, right? Or else you fail. Remember when you first became a believer and you sought God with all of your heart because you didn't know what to do next? You didn't know what was, you know, right or what the next step was. So you sought him all the time, right? But just like in a job or any other thing, if you get more skill than that, you get more experience, sometimes people leave God behind and they forget that they're supposed to be living a life of faith. You know, it's just not intermittent decisions or big decisions. Because as believers, sometimes we leave faith until we need it. But that's not how it's meant to be. Remember, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. So everything we do ought to have faith involved with it, right? And I want you to go over here, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. So let's examine ourselves. Are we living by faith? Or are we just doing what we want to do? Are we just living the way we've always lived? Are we just in a routine and we've just sort of allowed that to be our life without even asking God if he wanted us to do something different, right? Without even asking God, Lord, what is your plan? Am I in your plan? Am I doing what you wanted me to do? And so sometimes we keep going. He may tell us to do something and we've started to do it and we just keep going with it long beyond when he wanted us to because we didn't even bother to ask, right? And because people want to do what's comfortable. They want to do what they know. And anything requiring faith will involve the unknown. And so Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so this word here, acknowledge him, it means become acquainted with him. Become acquainted with him. How do we do that? We become acquainted with him through his word, through knowing his word, through studying his word. But we also become acquainted with him through prayer, through just talking to him. And have you ever leaned on your own understanding? I think this is really interesting that lean means this. Let me share it with you. Hold on. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in yourself. Oh, that's a scary place to be. You don't want me trusting in me, okay? And you don't want you trusting in you either. Let's not trust in ourselves. Let's lean to him. And you know, I can tell you this as a minister, but you can relate in whatever it is that you do. You know, as a minister, I was licensed in December of 2009. And so it's been about 13 years. And while I don't preach as much as Tim, I have done it long enough that you sort of learn, you know, flows of service. You learn about preparing a message and how God uses you and those sorts of things. And if you're not really careful, you can prepare a message and preach it and it not be God's plan, even though it's the word. Why? Because you can preach along your gift and you can preach along how God uses you, and he wants you to trust him for each and every service. And so you can be preaching and be out of the will of God if you're not listening for what he wants for each one. You know, I said earlier, you can be a person of prayer, and yet God wants to move you on to something more in prayer, but you're just kind of piddling around where you've always been, and we're not living by faith going to what he has for us next. You know, again, it could be something like construction or computers or whatever it is you do in life, and maybe it's something that you've done for a long time, and you've gained knowledge in that and wisdom in that and experience in that. And what we've done is we've leaned to that. We've trusted in our own understanding. And we have allowed our life to get settled down in what we know instead of what he knows or instead of what he wants. And so, you know, many times what happens is, have you ever, this happened to me one time. I went to say something to someone. The Lord had told me something about a person, a warning about them. And I wasn't going to say anything. And my husband said, you go tell them what I said. So I went to tell him what the Lord told me. And I got there. And when I was face to face with them, they were closed off to it. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever gone to talk to someone? You go, oh, this is the wrong time. Or no, not right now, you know. My husband works out of our house because that's where his office is. He found out years ago when he worked here that he didn't get much done because so many people would stop in and want him for something or need him for something, and he ended up dealing with all of that instead of actually getting something accomplished. So he works from our home, and there have been times where I've wanted to talk to him about something or get something resolved, and I went in his office, and I turned around and went right back out. Because they weren't in a place where they're going to talk to you about it, or they're going to receive it, or they're open to it. And the same thing, God can have things that he wants to tell us to do, things that he wants us to go higher in. It could be something very simple. Maybe you've been given the same $20 every service for the past 5 years, and he simply wants you to give $25. You can get in a rut in that. And so, you know, maybe it's something where God wants to stretch you. You know, he wants to move you in a different job or in a different position or something of that sort. But he goes to talk to you and you're like, you know, when I showed up to Tim's office and he doesn't want to talk about that right now. And God comes to you and he goes, oh, they don't want to talk about that right now. And then he comes back another time and they don't want to talk about that right now. Why? You have to be open to it. God doesn't push anything on anybody. That's what the enemy does. He pushes and forces and tries to have his way and put things over on people. God doesn't do that. He holds it out to you. And he says, do you want this? This is higher for you. Would you like this? And if you don't, then he doesn't make you do it. You have everything that you want. If you don't have a desire, there's no more. And let me tell you, every time you go higher, it takes more faith. You are going to have to trust him. Why? Because there's so much of the unknown in the next thing that you've never done before, right? And so that's why we're so comfortable in what we've been doing. It doesn't take much faith, really. When you get used to it and you get some experience in it, you know, you do start to trust in your own understanding. And so let me tell you this. Even if God has not yet said something new to your heart, just tell him you're open to it. Just tell him you're open to what's next. You're open to the bigger thing. You're open to a promotion. You're open to the next step. And let me tell you, he will challenge you in some way. Because our flesh wants to go, I don't want to have to use faith for anything else. I'm comfortable right where I'm at. Yeah, that's the problem, right? Because what pleases him? Faith pleases God. Don't you want to please him? And so I want to be stretched in every way. And God needs to know that from us. And so I want to share this with you. Two things. First, this. Self-sufficiency and self-confidence cause us to live independent of faith in God. Have you thought about that? See, what you become skilled in and good at, you don't even rely on God anymore for it. Because your own ability carries you, right? And so self-sufficiency and self-confidence cause us to live independent of faith in God. And so it can be real easy to start to live separate from faith. We're not stretching ourselves. And so listen to what Patsy Caminiti said. In the dependency, and she means on the Lord, in the dependency is when we're most conscious of him. In the dependency is when we're most conscious of him. Have you ever been in a place where it was God or bust? Where like, I don't just want God to come through. No, I need him to come through. Right? It could have been true life or death, or it could have been, you know, something in your marriage. It could have been, you know, something coming against your kids, a major situation. And you go, I don't just want him to come through for me. I need him to come through for me. And in those places, you were closer to God than any other time. Why? Because there was a dependency on him like no other. Your heart called out to him. But what about his heart calling out to us? Because we might not think about this, but God is dependent upon us. You know, he doesn't just, it's not like on, you know, Star Trek where they beam somebody and they just appear and make something happen, you know. God doesn't do that. He doesn't just, you know, beam down from heaven and start doing the works of God. No, he's depending on us to do the works of God. And so he's reaching out to our heart. What about what's on his heart, not just what's on our heart? Go over here to Matthew chapter 7. Don't you want to know what he wants you to do? Lord, what is the next thing you want me to do? Because I want you to know something. There are some new things coming. New things. And I don't just mean for this church, but it will include this church. You know, Pastor's been sharing piece by piece the vision in his heart for reaching this city, reaching this county and the surrounding counties. And so we know there are changes coming with the church and the ministry. We know that. But also he impressed upon me people's personal lives. That there will be changes for people's personal lives. And we need to be ready for those changes. That when he approaches us, we go, what do you want, Father? What is it you need? I will do it. And it will stretch you. It will cause you to depend on him. And it could be a total change of your life. It could be, you know, that your whole career is rearranged. Or you're doing something way different than you used to do. Or it could be something with more responsibility. And so let's be open to those things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And this is one thing I encourage you to do. Because I have seen this. You know, there were times, if there was a situation going on with someone in the Jamestown church, and we were praying for them, and, you know, obviously Tim and I would be helping them. But it was someone Pastor Michael may know or was closely associated with or worked with. I would at times tell him those things. And he would sometimes have something for someone, and he would say, but I can't tell them because they won't ask me. And I have had my husband say that same thing. And so there are times where you must initiate something with God. A lot of times, actually, things must be initiated by you. There are times where you're just minding your own business, doing your own thing, and God will instruct you. But most times it's because you initiated it. Do you know the things that I've learned from my husband and the things that I've learned from Pastor Michael in general conversation? It wasn't because we sat down and they just started pouring out their wisdom. It was because when I went to speak with them, I had questions. And because they saw I had a desire to know, they would pour out. And then they would answer even more than I asked. They would answer the question I asked and then some because they saw that I cared about it. And so show God that you really want to know what he has for you next, that you're really interested in what he wants you to do. Matthew chapter 7, how do you do that? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Now, many people think this means an item. And it can. Maybe it means a house or a car or something like that. It can mean that, a desire of your heart. But it can also mean instruction, wisdom, and knowledge. And so sometimes we go without that because of this. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Because sometimes we have not asked. Sometimes we have not sought him. Sometimes we have not knocked. And so everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened unto him. And so I encourage you, go home and just take 5 minutes and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to do next? Am I in the place that you want me to be? How can I stretch myself in my faith for my personal life? And listen, if you don't do it for you, do it for somebody else. Because as believers, we can get real selfish with our faith, right? We're only developing our faith for our stuff, for the things that we want, for the bigger house, for whatever, a bigger job, a bigger paycheck, more family, whatever it is. A lot of time believers are stretching their faith for their own things. But what about if we stretched our faith so it helps somebody else? And I want you to know, I've always noticed, I was looking back over the years, that God stretched my faith on my personal things, but the end result was to help somebody else, to be a blessing to the body of church of God, so I could be a bigger blessing to the church, okay? And so let's not just develop our faith so that we can have more things, so that we can have a bigger influence personally. Let's do that for the body of Christ. But see, if you mess it up, you just mess it up for your own life. And then, you know, you get good at it and then come use it on us, okay? So go over here with me, if you will, to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. I'm interested in growing my faith. Are you? I'm interested in what God's doing. Are you? Oh, yes, we're interested. Father, that's why we're here tonight. We're interested in what you're doing. I'm interested in his word, and I'm interested in what he says in prayer. And a lot of people think this, you know, how can I have faith in him? That's such an abstract idea. Except this, we do it all the time. Has anybody in here ever flown on an airplane? So most people have flown on an airplane. If you've flown on an airplane, did you personally know the pilot who was flying your plane on which you got? No. Did anybody see the pilot's license before they got on the plane? No. So you trusted someone you don't know. And really, you don't even know if they have a pilot's license because you've never even seen it. But you let them take you up in the sky and fly you who knows where, right? You trusted somebody you don't even know. Maybe he was awake all night long. Maybe he came to work barely able to keep his eyes open, but you trusted him, right? Have you ever gone? Now, I do not like amusement parks, okay? My husband for years has tried to convince me I do, but I am hip to this game, okay? You can't just tell me a certain amount of times and I like it, okay? And I don't care what anybody says, throwing up is not enjoyable. And I do not want to have to drug myself to enjoy it. Therefore, I just don't go because I really don't like it, right? And so, have you ever been to these parks where they do that, it's like that boomerang ride where there's like three people and they harness them in and they lay them flat and they pull them backwards up this big pole and then they just let them go and swing? That's some 18-year-old kid probably texting on his girlfriend, well, you've been standing in line, not paying attention a bit, totally irresponsible, and you let him hook you up to that little harness thing and pull you back up there and his life is in your hands. And bungee jumping, I mean, you're trusting these people. Like, these guys barely got a whisker on their face, and you're letting them, you're putting their life, your life in their hands. You're trusting them. And yet we go, oh, I can't trust God. It's just too big. It's just not true. You know, if you've ever had a surgery, you are letting people you don't know slice and dice. They are putting things in and taking things out and moving stuff around. And you might have seen them twice in your life before you got to that room. And you're trusting they're going to put you to sleep and wake you back up. And that they're really going to do what surgery they said they're going to do. And why do you trust them? Because they told you. They just said, here's what I'm going to do. And you went, oh, okay. So see, faith and trust is really not as hard as we think. It's just that people want to say that because they don't want to do what he said. So they want to say they don't trust him or they don't know how to trust him. Yes, you do. You listen, when you got hooked up to that thing, you know, the bungee jumping or the whatever that thing is, you just did what they said. They said, put your leg in here, put your leg in here, put it over your arm, buckle it up. You simply followed a couple steps and you did what they said. And you trusted they were going to bring you up there and bring you back safe. And the same thing with God. He's telling you something to do. Do these few simple steps and you go, oh, I don't know how to trust him. I don't know how to have faith in God for that. Yes, you do. You've done it with many other people, probably every week, who you don't even know personally. And so it's easy to trust God. We just take him at his word, just like we did everybody else we knew that we put our lives in their hands. It's not hard. And so over here in Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, and we got to get closing this up. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. I trust him, do you? He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And so let's not insult God and have more trust in the guy who hooks you up to the skyscraper thing and in a surgeon you've never met and in a pilot who's you've never seen their license and say, we can't trust God, because we can. Here's what we do. We just listen for his instruction and follow it. That's trusting him. And sometimes it's not even a person. Sometimes people have put more faith in a thing. You know, if a person has money, that's good. But if you're not careful, you can trust it and stop trusting God because you rely on your money to do what God used to do. You know, when you didn't have any money and you needed a meal and you just believed God and you trusted him and you thanked him and it showed up, all of a sudden you had groceries on your doorstep or someone invited you and bought you a meal. And then when you have enough money, you just kind of quit trusting him for that. And so people can even put their faith in things. And let's not do that. Let's keep our faith for him. Amen. Okay, let's go to one more scripture and then we'll close because we're going to pray here. Numbers 23, I'm just going to read to you. So go to Matthew 8. Go to Matthew 8, verse 5. Isn't his word good? I'm so thankful for the instruction of the word. It will help you into all that God wants you to do, all that he has for you. Trust and have faith in his word. I'm going to read this to you. Kenzie, could you just put this up real quick? Numbers 23:19. I'm just going to read this before we get to Matthew. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So everything he has said in his word, he promises to bring it to pass as long as you believe he does. And it's simply this, Father, you said it and I believe it. That's all faith is, that he said it and I believe it. So go over to Matthew chapter 8 and we're going to see someone, an example of a person in the Bible who simply took Jesus at his word and it affected someone's life. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Okay. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard that, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And so I want you to notice this in verse 8. This was the centurion speaking, and he said, speak the word only. He's saying to Jesus. And listen to what Jesus said about it in verse 10. I have not found so great faith in Israel. So if you'll just take what he said in his word, and you'll just take what he said to your heart personally, and you'll believe it and take him at his word, Jesus said that's great faith. And we think all believers do that, but let's be real, all believers don't do that. And so don't you want to be someone who Jesus said that person is of great faith? And remember Dr. Summerall when he was in the Philippines and he was told, the Lord told him to go and minister to that girl in the prison. And Dr. Summerall told the Lord, he said, get somebody else. And what did the Lord say? He said, I don't have anybody else. Why did he say that? Because Lester Summerall had faith. And so let's be someone who has great faith, that when God sees someone else in need, he can call upon us to go and help them. That when they're in need, he'll say, oh, I know who has great faith. I'll send them to help. I'll send them to pray. I'll send them to be a blessing. They're always willing to do what I say. I'll put it on this person's heart. I'll put it on their heart to pray. I'll put it on their heart to give. I'll put it on their heart to go visit them. Because you're someone who has great faith. You just take him at his word. And it's not hard. It's easy. So let's close. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the things that you're instructing us now in our hearts, but the things that will be instructed to us in the coming times, Father, in the near future. We want you to know, Heavenly Master, that we are ready to do what you want us to do. We ask you to instruct us what it is you want us to do next, Father. Stretch our faith, Father. We purpose to come up higher in you. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word tonight. We thank you for personal growth in our faith, that it could be a blessing to others. And Lord, we just thank you as we give now, Father, that it's given back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men pour into our bosom. Father, we thank you. I just thank you. I bless everyone here, Father, who gave tonight and who gave of their time to come and to hear your word and receive from you. Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may wait on the people. I'll have to get you mine after, Jeff. I forgot to fill up my envelope. Okay, so we're going to have a short intermission. The nursery in LA still closes at 7:45.